Go ahead. We got into the seven last plagues here in chapter 15. And we've had seven seals. We've had seven trumpets. What am I missing? Thunders? That'll be next after trumpet. But before that, I got seven thunders in there someplace. We don't know what they are, but anyway. And then the seven visions, that's what I'm not. And then the seven bowls. All right. We had the seven visions back in chapter 14. Those prolific visions. And then the seven angels, the seven trumpets. And now the seven vials or bowls. So all of these series, and every series there's something different. And the seven thunders, we don't know what they have. And the seven trumpets, you had the three woes in addition to that. So through each of those, you're talking about a lot of trouble, a lot of stuff. So I was talking to somebody the other day. These folks that say that we're going to get raptured out before any of this happens, I think they're going to have some big surprises myself. Don't believe that's going to happen. And are we beginning to see some of them? I don't know. We could be. I can't say yes and I can't say no. I just don't know. But if they're not any part or parcel of these plagues, trumpets and all these things, boy, they sure are a forewarning, foretaste of them. Well, so in chapter 16, verse 1, I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. So, you can't deny that this is the wrath of God. Amen. And here's my big thing on the revelation, is that you've got two definite periods of time that occur in a 7-year period of time. I get that 7-year period of time. I get it from the book of Daniel and also from the book of the Revelation and then from the book of Matthew, 2 Thessalonians, and other assorted scripture. So I think definitely there is a period of time of 7 years. Well, in the book of Daniel, chapter 9, you see that there is a period of time, 70 weeks. All right, so then we would call it, there's 70 weeks of Daniel, prophesied by Daniel. Now, Daniel didn't necessarily understand everything he's prophesying. As a matter of fact, we know definitely that he didn't understand everything that he was prophesying. And that's why the Lord said, seal it up until the end. And so, do I have to understand everything that I preach in the Bible? No. I'm not capable of that. Nobody else is either. I want to make that very clear. And I preached one time, on this subject at a conference. And I said, some of you have been calling other people bad names because of what they believe about this. I said, well, I want to tell you that I don't know when the Lord is coming. But this time I was walking out in the house and I said, but I do know one thing for sure. You don't know either. I meant it. I meant every word of it. So what are you doing? Acting like you know everything about it. Because you don't. You just think you do. Anyway, so nobody knows the hour of the day, is what the Lord said. But we can recognize our signs. Now, the psalmist said, we see not our signs. Well, that's generally true. But we who do know the Lord and are studying His Word, we can see some signs. And boy, are we ever seeing a bunch of them now. Things have happened in this last few months that we would have never dreamed would have been possible in the next 20 years. And it's already happened. And no telling what's going to happen again. When's the Lord coming? I don't know. But I know He is. And I know before He does, there's going to be ultimately the wrath of God's going to be poured out on this earth. So that's what we're beginning with right now. The wrath of God in a vial. Now these angels remind you of this. The word angel, I forget what it is in Hebrew, but in the Greek, it's angelos. Well, that's where we get angel from. But what does it mean? It means messenger. It means same thing in Hebrew. Messenger. All right. When we think of angels, because of all of the religious art we've been infected with, people look and they expect an angel to be a female form in a long white robe with big white fluffy wings and a gold halo. Isn't that about it? Isn't that what comes to most people's mind when you hear about angel? Well, that's not what the word means. Now, you've got angels, you've got cherubim, you've got seraphim. And they're all not the same thing. And they're all created beings, whether the angel be a spiritual angel or a human angel. They're all created beings. All right. Now we do know that the cherubim that covered, they had wings. The seraphim that Isaiah saw in Isaiah chapter 6, they had wings. They flew. Well, but an angel may be a spiritual angel from the throne of God, or maybe a human being. Now, these are from the throne of God. So, they're spiritual angels, but what do they look like? I don't know. I'll tell you when I see them. And that's as far as I'm... Ain't nobody going to draw a picture of them. How you going to paint a picture of something you ain't never seen? Tell a blind man to paint an elephant. They wonder what it looks like. And then we'll paint a picture of Jesus. How do you know what it looks like? Michelangelo painted a picture of God on the Sistine Chapel ceiling. And people come from all over the world to see it. Ooh, and ah, and ooh, and ah. Nietzsche's got a big old man up there. So that's God. And the Bible says no man has seen God at any time. So, and that included Michelangelo. So what he painted under coercion. The Pope told him to do it, he was going to kill him. But he didn't paint it. He did not paint a picture of God. Everybody says he did, but he didn't. All right, so And the first angel went, verse 2, and poured out his vial, or we called it a bowl, but upon the earth. And there fell a noisome, painful. Why would it be called noisome? Well, what do you do with something that's painful? Make noise. That's what. And grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. So now I don't know what this sore, noisome, grievous sore is. It could be leprosy. It could be any number of things. That's painful, nasty. Yeah. So, you can pass right by this and not think anything about it. But this is pretty bad right here. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea. And it became as the blood of a dead man. Well, I've never been in a undertaker's parlor. I know they drain all the blood out of a dead man. I guess they do it with needles and stuff and tubes and everything. But I don't want that blood. What are you going to do with it? You don't want it on you, because it's poison. But here the sea became as the blood of a dead man. It's not just blood, but blood of a dead man. And every living soul died in the sea. Well, now, there's the word soul in connection with sea life. Well, human beings are made up body, soul, spirit. Now, a lot of preachers will say it's body and soul, but that's not the way it is. We are made in the image of God. And people say, yeah, we got thumbs and big toes. No, that's not how we're in the image of God. God doesn't have thumbs and big toes. God is spirit. And to equate any human body parts to God, it is a anthropomorphism. Anthro for anthropos, men in Greek. Morphism, change. Ascribing God, human parts to God. Like the hand of God. God doesn't have a hand. But that, we say a hand of God is an anthropomorphic figure of speech in order to enable us to understand something about the working of God. Alright, so thumbs and big toes ain't where it's at. My opinion is that we are made in the image of God because God is triune. One God manifest in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. One God, three manifestations of one God. There is an order in the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And we must maintain that order, but God the Father is eternal. God the Son is eternal. God the Spirit is eternal. There's only one that's eternal, and that's God. God the Father is, He's there. He's coexistent. So is God the Son. So is God the Spirit. So there you've got co-eternal, co-equal, and God the Father exists, God the Son exists, God the Spirit exists. coexistent. Co-equal, co-eternal, coexistent. The three personages of the Godhead. Now you say, well, the Bible doesn't use that word Trinity. No, it does not use the word Trinity. But the doctrine, the teaching of the Trinity is all over the Bible. So, you get it from Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, all things were made by Him. That's God the Son. And the Spirit of God moved on the face of the deep. There's God the Spirit. Genesis 1:26. And God said, let us make man. There are not three gods, but you'd have to know a little about the Hebrew language. The same thing in Genesis 1:1, Genesis 1:26. There is plurality working in unity. That probably doesn't help you a whole lot, but that's what it is. But there's not three gods. Say three gods, and then you've got idolatry. There's one God. And it's one of the major doctrines of the Bible. Jehovah's Witnesses, they deny that doctrine. All of the cults deny that doctrine. Every one of them do. But that is the doctrine of the Bible. Jesus said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. There's the formula for baptism. And there is the Trinity of God. Okay? Now, what I was getting at here, man is made in the image of God. God is triunity, triune. So He made man, body, soul, and spirit. We are tripartite. There's not three of me here, but I am body, soul, and spirit. In that instance, I am in the image of God, so are you. Now here's what happened to us. When God made Adam, Adam was complete. And he was tripartite, body, soul, and spirit. He was without sin. Didn't say he was perfect, said he was without sin. And he had a perfect free will. Adam could have chosen to not sin, just as he could have chosen to sin. So what did Adam do? He exercised his free will. And you hear my, oh, I believe man's got a free will. I believe Adam had a free will. But I don't believe any of the rest of us have had a free will. And here's why. When Adam sinned, he exercised his free will. Now there's a doctrine called the federal headship of Adam. Federal means representative. We have a federal government, and after a fashion, it's supposed to represent the people. It pretty much represents the politicians, but it's supposed to represent the people. I mean, I don't see us becoming billionaires, multimillionaires, so something's representing the politicians, because they get up there and become multimillionaires. They've got good representation. We don't. We're supposed to have it, but we don't have it. Anyway, so Adam is the federal head of the human race. Now, you're not going to get better doctrinal teaching than this at any seminary or Bible college. You're not going to do it. But Adam's a federal head. Now, when he exercised his will, And here's what he did. He chose to sin. He was not coerced. There wasn't anything inside of him that caused him to choose evil. He had no memory, no taint of sin. He had no sin. He had not yet sinned. So when Satan tempted Eve and she succumbed and he succumbed to her. All true enough. But do you know who was responsible for that? Adam. Eve was responsible for hers, and Adam was responsible for his. Adam exercised his free will, and not one human being has ever had that true free will since, except the last Adam. And that's Jesus Christ. And that's why Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. The Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary, and she became pregnant. So who is God the Son's Father? God the Father. Adam was not Jesus' father. Mary was his mother to deliver the man, but she wasn't the mother of God, nor is she the mother of God. All right. As Jesus came into this world, babe in the manger, he was in the same moral position as Adam when God made him from the dust of the earth and breathed the breath of life into his nostrils. You must admit that Adam was specially created. And you must admit that the last Adam was specially created. Nobody's ever been created like that before or since. Either one of them. Adam and Eve bore children. They came the normal way. Now, so Adam exercised his free will, and as the federal head, the representative head of the human race, he made a choice. He chose to sin, and wherefore by one man, sin entered, and death came upon all, for that all have sinned. Romans 5. So, well, then it's Adam's fault that we're sinners. We did inherit our sinful nature from him. But when we sin, we choose to sin, and we continue to practice sin. And we're responsible for our own sin, just as Adam is responsible for his. And I said this to you before, but people talk about the original sin. You hear Catholics talk about original sin. When they sprinkle babies, they say that they're getting rid of original sin. That's what they say they're doing. Well, they ain't getting rid of nothing. They're just fantasizing there. They're not getting rid of anything. Anyway. So now we got Adam before the fall. He's body, soul, and spirit. Now we got Adam after the fall. So well, is he now just body and soul? No. He's still body, soul, and spirit. But his spirit is dead to God. And his body is dying out to the world. Well, body. If you haven't got a body, you ain't in this world. Because you ain't flying around with a sheet under you, over you. That's just a bunch of paganism. Ain't no spooks out there, or what they call them, Hanks. How many know what a Hank is? You gotta be a hillbilly to know what that is. It's actually H-A-U-N-T. A haunt. A ghost. That's what they call a haint. But there ain't no haints out there. when a human being dies, their body is separated from this world. That's what death means, the separation. Well, your soul is your self-consciousness. You got personality, you know, differences and all that. And your spirit is God consciousness, unless you're depraved and you haven't been born again, then you have a spirit, but it's only alive in this dead world. It's only alive to the evil spirits of this world. That's why they get into witchcraft and all that stuff. That's a lot of people. There's a lot of spirituality, but it ain't spirituality towards God. All right. So, Adam after the fall, he's body, he's soul, and his spirit is dead to God, but alive to sin in this world. Now, when God does a work of grace in him, we're just taking Adam for our example here. The Bible says that he quickens us. That means make alive. Where does God move on Adam to make him alive? In his spirit. That's where the new birth takes place. In your sin, dead, and spirit. Now, when I was saved, long time ago, 9 years old or something, I wasn't no gutter bum. I was a pretty good little kid, but you know what? God burdened me down that I was a lost sinner, and I was on my way to hell, and I deserved to go to hell. And there's only one thing could be done about it, and Jesus Christ already done it. The Bible tells me that God's right in condemning me, but Jesus Christ is my Savior. He's the Son of God, and He died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again the third day, all to pay for my sins. And I trusted Him. I didn't say, "Dear Jesus, come into my heart." All I did was, "Yes, God, you're right. I trust Jesus. I believe He is who you said He is. I believe He's done what you said He's done." And I was saved. Now, I was different then. I had a different motivation about me. Did my body change any? No, I was still a 9-year-old little boy trying to grow up, you know. Nothing happened in my body, but everything happened in my eternal spirit.
Amen.
And the Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit came in me, and that's where He set up His abode, in my spirit. And He ain't never going to leave there, not till this old body's gone. So, when you say, "Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world," you're talking about the Holy Spirit in your spirit. And that's where He born me again, was in my spirit. Quickened me. Made me alive. Now, my old body, it ain't doing so good. It's gonna leave us sometime. It's gonna leave me. I'm going to leave it. You know, George Pease, here lies George Pease, just the pod, just the body, just the pod, for Pease to shelled out and gone to God. And that's what's going to happen. But what about my body? I thought Jesus was a complete Savior. Well, He is. He is. Just there ain't no hope for this body. It's going to croak. It's going to go back to the dust from which it came. I don't believe in cremation, but whatever you do to it, that's what's going to happen to it. Until the Lord comes back and he resurrects the body. And he'll join my departed spirit with my old body. I don't deserve none of this, folks. But I'll be completely saved then, both body, soul, and spirit. My body, I got to keep after it. It ain't doing so good. My soul, my mind, my psyche, my personality, everything that's in that thing's soul, I got to keep after it, keep black and, until I get black and blue, until I'm fighting myself. And sometimes I win, but most of the time I lose. But in that day, there won't be that battle going on. Because my body, soul, and eternal spirit will be joined, and I will completely be whole and holified, set apart for the Master's use forever. All right, now, how did I get all that out of sea before he bowled on the sea? I did that. Anyway, and every living soul died in the sea. Here's what I was trying to get to. Animals have souls. They don't have eternal spirits. You read the book of Ecclesiastes, and it'll tell you that animals have souls. And the Jehovah's false witnesses will latch on to that and say, see, we're just like animals when we die. That's not what Ecclesiastes is saying. Animals, we've got some animal lovers sitting right here. Do animals have different personalities? They sure do. Because they have soul. But they do not have an eternal spirit. So there's a difference. So somebody says, well, every living soul died in the sea. And I think I told you about one time going to Southern Baptist Church, and a lady, a Sunday school teacher, was got them all trying to decide if fish can be saved. Yeah. No. I believe it's talking about all sea life died. Why? Because they're trying to breathe dead man's blood in. Now, although it's proven that fish can adapt to salt water and back to fresh water, they can do that. Many of them can. Bull sharks, check out how far up the Mississippi River they find bull sharks. They come up from the ocean, the Gulf of Mexico, and they come up the Mississippi River quite a ways. And that's all fresh water. How do they do that? In other rivers, they do the same thing. And bull sharks are mean sharks. I mean, they go after anything that's around. But anyway, they do. And you can make experiments. Take a saltwater fish, and little by little change him into fresh water, and he'll do just fine. But there's no way you're going to get him changed over to drinking dead man's blood. So now we got a big problem. We got so many people with grievous sores, noisome sores. Now you've got all animal life in the sea. Well, you've got some big animals in the sea. You've got blue whales that are over 100 foot long. Walrus. You ever seen a walrus in real life? I saw him in the Bering Sea. And I was in the Navy. We operated in the Bering Sea. First attack aircraft carrier to ever operate in the Bering Sea. Was up there in July, and it was cold. And now you see walrus sitting out on the ice floe. Great big creatures, are they? And seals are big. And all that. There's a lot of big stuff in the ocean. Giant squid. Name it. Well, those guys got pulled into the ocean the other day with a 450-pound grouper. You know, there's some big stuff in the ocean. And they all died. When I look, you talk about side effects. How many people live just out of the ocean? We don't realize how many people live out of the ocean. We like to go to Cap'n D's or Red Lobster or Long John's. We like to get like that or eat some fish sticks and all that. But much of this world, everything they eat comes out of the ocean. Now, what if all the sea life's dead? Non-edible. You talk about a lot of stuff going on. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. So at least they could go back to the rivers and the springs. Because the very next one goes on them. So there ain't no drinking water. There ain't no animal life. Lots of problems. And I heard the angel of the water say, "Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shalt be, because thou hast judged thus." Now there is the definition of the word Yahweh. Jehovah or Yahweh. These people get a hold of that word, and then they pick it up and act like they're the only ones who know what that word is. We know what it is. That's just not the word that we use. We're not Jews. We don't speak Hebrew. I love the word Jehovah. Yahweh. People say, "What's it mean?" Here it is. O Lord, which are, was, and shall be. That's what it means. The God who always was, who is, and that shall be. What did he say when he told Moses to go to Pharaoh? He said, "Here's what Moses said, what shall I say? Whom shall I say sent me?" And he said, "I am. I am that I am. I am has sent me." Did Jesus know that? Yeah, he did. When Jesus told the Pharisees, he said, "Before Abraham was," now he used the Greek word "ami," that's "I am." Jesus said he was "I am." And you know what the Jews did? They began to throw rocks at Jesus because they said he was blaspheming. They knew what "Amy" meant. They knew it meant the exact same thing that God Almighty said before in the burning bush when Moses was down before that burning bush and God said, "I am that I am." And they knew that Jesus, the whole Jews never said, "Lord, what about that? He's Jehovah, the God who always was, who is, or ever shall be." All right. Now the angel of the waters, that would be the ones that poured out on the waters. He says, "Thou art righteous, O Lord." Now you won't get one religious out of a thousand that would agree with that. "Oh no, God can't do like that. He's the God of blood. He can't do like that. We don't want to have a God like that." Well, that's fine. And I can guarantee you that you don't have a God like that. You've got one you can put in your hip pocket. But you can't do this God that way. And he's not how you want him to be. He's how he is. And so, because thou hast judged thus. They're claiming God is holy and righteous because God has sent all these judgments on the earth. Now, would I want to, let's have a praise service. You want to have a praise service now? I'd like to have a praise service right now. That's what they're doing. Amen. Oh Lord, holy and just, thou art righteous, for thou hast thus judged. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just being realistic according to what the Bible teaches. For they, those upon whom all these bowls of wrath have fallen, they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. They're worthy of that dead man's blood to drink. They're worthy of the judgments that God's sending upon them. And you may talk about the ultimate irony. When something's ironic, well, how about this turning out this way? This is the ultimate in irony. Thou hast shed the blood of saints and prophets. You want to shed their blood? They've shed their blood. Now I'm going to give you some dead men's blood to drink. And I heard another out of the altar say, well, this is coming from all, they're all having a praise service here. Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. That's what's in store, bro. That's what's in store. God help us to be faithful to Him now. And whatever happens to us, let me tell you what. They can't kill you but one time. And sometimes death is slow coming, sometimes it's fast. I don't know what's going to happen. So, well, somebody ought to shoot you. That's a problem. Shooting me into heaven? I don't know. That's not a big bad problem. It might be here on earth, but it ain't there. Well, anyway, we'll take it up next time.